Hey everyone, welcome to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. We are blown away by all God has done through ACC in such a short period of time, and it is our joy and privilege to provide these messages to you every week. We have heard countless stories of people discovering a brand new perspective on Jesus and being strengthened in their faith through what God is doing through our local church in Auburn, Alabama. If you have been one of the individuals who have been impacted, we want to ask you to become an investor in what God is doing here at ACC. You can participate in our church by going to auburncommunitychurch.com and clicking Give for all of our giving options. Thank you for partnering with us to continue to build a church without walls. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, hey, ACC, has there ever been anything in your life? Has there ever been something that you really, really wanted to do? Maybe something that you really knew that you needed to do, but you were so petrified with fear to do it that you almost just couldn't pull the trigger. But you knew that if you had moved towards that fear, whatever you were terrified of, and do it, you knew that on the other side of that step stood untold potential. A world of opportunities could open up for you if you would just do that, right? I mean, I remember for myself, the first time that I ever stood in front of a large crowd and played my guitar. I was probably about 15 or 16 years old, and we had this massive high school assembly, about 1,000 people, give or take a few hundred, you know. And I had to play this song. And so I practiced for weeks, man. I knew this thing backwards, forwards. I could have played it in my sleep. No matter what you asked me to do, I could have done it. But when the day came and I had to stand in front of everybody, I was so stinking nervous. I mean, my legs were shaking so much. I'm not kidding. It was probably the only time I can remember in my life other than my wedding that my legs were just doing this. And I was like freaking out. I felt like my stomach was just going to pop out of me. My hands were shaking, which you kind of need when you're playing guitar. And I kind of stumbled through the song. And as I scratched out the last couple notes, I'll never forget. You know, I was kind of like looking down like this. And then when I looked up at all the people and everyone started clapping, I was just like, I did it. I made it. This is incredible. This is amazing. And the feeling that came over me was so overwhelming. I was just like, I got to do this again. But I was so afraid of that just like 10 minutes before. And I'm so glad I didn't chicken out that day and step towards what I was afraid of, because for the next two decades of my life after I finished high school, I traveled the world and played guitar for loads of different people around the world. And that was my career. That's what I did. How different could it have looked if that day I decided, you know what? That just looks a little too scary. No, thank you. And walked away. I mean, I can think of another thing that happened to me like a few years back that if you're a married man in the room, you can relate to this. I had to ask Whitney, whom I was dating, to marry me. Okay. That, I don't think there's anything scarier for a man than asking a woman to spend the rest of her life with him. Except possibly for asking her dad if he can do that. Which, P.S., if you're a young guy here today and you're single, that's how it's supposed to go down. This is for free. It's not really part of the message. But just, yes, I'm hearing fathers say that. And I'm a dad, but I have a boy, and that's what I'm going to teach him. Ask the man. If he's around, ask the father, and then ask her. And maybe that's not what you're struggling with today. Maybe you're struggling with something else. Maybe the thing that you're afraid to move towards that on the other side holds for you unbelievable opportunity is just asking her out, for crying out loud. Do that. Try that one on for size. It works. You know, they like that. That's how it's supposed to work. And I'm so glad that for me, I did that. At some point, I asked Whitney on a date. Then I asked her dad if I could marry her. Then I asked her. And now I have this beautiful, amazing, incredible family that's continuing to grow. And I wish they could be here with me today, but they could. And even if you're here for the first time, and maybe you would say, I'm not a believer in Jesus, I'm not a Christian, you can relate to this, right? I mean, life is full of all these stages from the very beginning all the way up to the very end that we move into. And as we move into them, sometimes it's really uncomfortable, it's really strange, it's really unfamiliar, and we're kind of like scared. But on the other side, it's just unimaginable opportunity it opens up for us. I mean, for example, literally from the very beginning, I mean, I doubt anybody here remembers their own birth. If you do, you're the first person I've ever met. But I do remember my son's birth, okay? And I'll spare you all the details, you know. Single people are like, thank you, please, you know. But I watched him be born. And in that moment that he went from the womb to the world, I say moment, it took more like 16 hours of labor. But, you know, hello, mothers. Happy Mother's Day. But I'm sure she wishes it had just been a moment. But in the moment that he went from the womb to the world, you got to know that womb he was in, And all of us were there at some point. Everything was comfortable for him. It was very familiar. Everything was provided. It was cozy. It was warm. It was all he had ever known. But then when he went from the womb to the world, all of a sudden, for the first time ever, he encountered, as he went from darkness into light for the first time, he saw light. And so he came out with these squinted eyes, and he was just like, oh, no, 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 because it probably was hurting his eyes, I imagine, you know? And he's like looking around through these squinted eyes, and he sees these different figures like looking at him and reaching for him. And one of those people that was standing out there, and he didn't even know what people were. Think about that. So he's just, you know, screaming. One of them is me, and I'm saying, hey, it's okay. It's me. I'm your dad. I got you. It's okay. Come on, Ezra, come, literally come to the light, you know? And do you think 2 years later that he would ever go back from the world to the womb? Of course not. Because when he came into the world, literally a world of opportunity opened up for him, didn't it? And as he grows, he goes through life, just like we talked about a second ago, like different stages of life that he'll go through that some of us have been in or some of us are going into, he'll experience that same feeling. Like maybe it'll be the first day of school, but you know, we're so glad that we eventually went to school because now hopefully we know how to read and write, you know, most of us, you know. Maybe it wasn't your first day of school. Maybe it was your first day here at Auburn, you know. Maybe you were intimidated by that. Maybe you came to Auburn from another country, another culture, another language. Imagine how scary that would be to come to Auburn, Alabama, and not know anyone, and this be completely unfamiliar territory. Some of you can relate to that. Maybe it was, like we talked about, asking somebody out. Maybe it was accepting that date and going on your first date, and on the other side of that, you're so glad you did because now you're married with this big, beautiful family, you know. Or maybe it was a job, whatever it was, all through those stages, from the beginning all the way up to the very end, I would say, even death itself certainly is terrifying. That'd probably be the most terrifying step. But Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament that we read as Christians, he had this interesting statement about death. He said in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 1, he says that to die, as terrifying as it is, would be to gain. Right? But why? Because for the person that's following Jesus, on the other side of that terrifying step is eternity with and in the presence of Jesus, is immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. Another quote from Paul, in the presence of Jesus for eternity. I mean, it's incredible, but it's terrifying, the step that is right before that. And even for the person here who does follow Jesus, we would tell you that all of life following Jesus, even walking with him, it seems like he's constantly inviting us into things like this where we're kind of terrified, we're kind of scared, we're not sure, but then on the other side of that, as we step forward in faith with him into what we're afraid of, is immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. That opens up for us. And we're followers of Jesus here today, but did you know it was the same for the very first followers of Jesus as well? His disciples, we call them. I mean, he was constantly doing stuff like this. He was constantly bringing them into something that would scare them or freak them out. I mean, he would take them into towns that they culturally felt like they didn't belong in, like Samaria. He would have them associate with people, and he would associate with people that they were kind of like, should we do this? Are we supposed to hang out with them? Can we eat dinner with them? Can we do this? Can we do that? You know, and he would do things that would just straight freak them out, you know? He did some stuff that just scared them so much that they just scattered and ran. Like when he went to the cross. And understandably so, that would scare you. But when he went to his own death, terrifying step. But we know on the other side of that now, right, was 3 days later, the resurrection. And with it, incredible potential, right? I mean, eternal potential for the whole world to actually have the opportunity to know and experience eternal life with Jesus. Yet it began with a terrifying step that scared the disciples away. And you know what? The story that we're going to look at today, it's just like that. These guys, they're following Jesus, and he does something that just freaks them out. They get scared to death. I mean, they're terrified, you know? He does something that they just can't comprehend it this time. And if you've been around church, you're going to know this story. So you're going to have that temptation right when we start talking about it to just kind of shut down. And so I'm begging you to just kind of perk up and listen with fresh ears today because I bet there's something on it for you. But even if you haven't been around church, you've heard this story, right? the story of Jesus walking on the water. And I want you to know that there's something in it for you, and there's something in it for me when he's walking on the water. You see, to set this story up for you, you need to know that this is a crazy miracle that happens, okay? It's a crazy event, but it's just happened right after another really famous miracle that you probably heard of from Jesus, right? And when we tell this story, we normally tell it out of Matthew's account, okay? In which you always hear the story, not just of Jesus walking on the water, but also of who else walking on the water, right? Peter. Yeah, and as Christians, we love that, man. We want to hear about Peter walking on the water because we feel like we can relate to that. We kind of feel like, yeah, maybe I could do that too. And that's sort of encouraging, but at the same time, you know, I encourage you to go give it a shot out here on the lake, you know. And I'm rooting for you all the way, but I'm going to be back here, you know. I don't know about that. And we always hear it from Matthew's account, but as Christians, we read four accounts of Jesus' life: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and who else? John. Right, who we'll look at today. And when Matthew shares the story and tells us about Peter walking on the water, we go over and read John's account, and he doesn't talk about Peter walking on the water at all, does he? The funny thing is, he includes some different details that when you look at Matthew's account and then you look at John's account, the details are different, but they're not contradictory. You put them together, and they're actually complementary, and you get the whole story, which is why you got to read the whole Bible to get the whole story of God. You know? And this story happens right after he's just fed the 5,000. It's kind of like he's up on a hillside just like we are today. And you know there's 5,000 women and children that are gathering to listen to Jesus teach, right? You've probably heard the story. And we know there's more than 5,000 people. There's just 5,000 men, but then there's also women and children. So it's a massive crowd that's gathered. And Jesus is teaching them for a while. And his disciples come to him and say, you know, hey, it's getting late in the day, and we feel like, you know, you should send these guys away so that they can go into the nearby villages and get something to eat. And he turns it back on them and says, why don't you feed them? I love that, you know. He says, why don't you feed them? And so what they do is they look around, and they find 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish from somebody, and they bring the little bit that they have to Jesus, right? I mean, there's a message right there. Just bring the little you've got to Jesus and see what happens. And when they bring that to Jesus, he blesses it, gives it back to them, and they spread it out to all over 5,000 people, and everybody's filled. They don't just eat and have enough. They eat until they are full, like unbuckle your buckle, you know, push away from the Thanksgiving table kind of moment, you know. And then they go through the crowd, catch this, and they gather up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Like, that's a lot of to-go boxes from Hamilton's or the Hounds or whatever your flavor is around here, you know? I mean, they've got a lot left over, and they see this incredible miracle, okay, that Jesus has done. And Jesus knows that they want to listen to him some more because of him. He just fed them, you know? I mean, Miles said a couple weeks ago, if you want him to come to your thing, feed him. He pretty much decides his calendar on what food is at whatever event, you know? So now you know how to get him to your house, you know? Feed him. And yeah, I see that hand. And he's just fed him, so they're going to listen to him. But catch this, he's also just performed this crazy, amazing miracle. So they also want to make him king, right? And he knows that. So he turns to his disciples, and he says, hey, when evening comes, I want you to go down to the lake down there, because they were right next to the Sea of Galilee, a little bit bigger than this lake. He says, I want you to go get in a boat and go across to the other side, and I'll come join you. Like, wink, wink, like, I'll come join you later. Like, you have no idea what I've got up my sleeve, you know? And he says that to him, and the disciples, you know, being the good, obedient guys that they are, and maybe that's you here today, like, you're a follower of Jesus, and you're like, I'm at church, I just want to know, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Sometimes it's just as simple as doing the last thing Jesus told you to do, which in this case was just go get in the boat. And that's what they did. And when they did, the story starts. So Jesus hangs out a little bit longer. He dismisses the crowd and then goes off by himself. And we pick up the story in John chapter 6, verse 16, with these disciples getting in the boat and setting across the lake. So let's read this together. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. Now catch these details, okay? By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet join them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. It's like the music should change. They're like, dun, 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 you know. A storm's coming. Because into every story, a storm's got to come. I mean, a story's no good until something goes wrong, right? You know? And that's what makes it good. So here comes the storm. And catch all these details John is giving us. He tells us it's dark. He tells us that Jesus is not with them. And then he tells us this incredible storm is coming on. But notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say that they're scared, does he? There's nothing about them being afraid. Why? Think about it. These guys, some of them were actually fishermen by trade. So they knew what they were doing. They've been on a boat plenty of times. They've been on this very lake so many times. So many of them actually lived in this very area. This is familiar territory. Some of them actually lived in the town that they were trying to go to. So this was probably not just familiar territory, a familiar activity that they were comfortable and familiar with. This was probably a familiar route that they had been on many, many, many times. So they're just doing what they know to do. They're doing what's comfortable to them. They're just manning the oars of the boat, something they've done 1,000 times, something that's second nature to them, okay? I mean, they're not scared at all. I don't know about you, but listen, I remember this one time I was on a boat. I don't travel by boat often, but I was on a boat going from Northern Ireland to Northern England through the night. And I remember it was really, really, really cold and really windy, like rough North Atlantic seas kind of thing. And this storm was coming up. And I remember I went out of my cabin in the middle of the night and just kind of peeked over the rail for a second. And you couldn't see hardly anything, but I could see the waves hitting the boat right there, you know. And it freaked me out when the cold wind started hitting me. And I just kind of had that moment, like I'd seen Titanic, you know. And I just kind of had that moment, like, if this thing goes down, this is not going to go well for me, you know. And my heart just started to tick, 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 tick. Not these guys at all. They're not scared at all. They're just manning the oars, doing what they know to do. And John goes on to tell us that when they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, when they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, for crying out loud, listen, I'm tired just hearing that. If you put me out on this pond right here and gave me a John boat with a paddle and fishing rod and said, enjoy your afternoon, after about an hour or so, I'm going to be worn out. Not these dudes. Why? Because they're doing what they know to do. They've got this. They've done this 1,000,000 times. It doesn't matter for them. They can row through a storm. Bring it on. They don't care. 1 mile, no problem. And another one. 2 miles, no problem. Bring it on. 3, come on, no problem. And another one. And another one. It's like DJ Khaled's in the boat with him, you know, with his video. You ever seen that, you know? And he's just telling him, another one. And another one. And they're just pulling on the oars, right, you know? And they're just going straight into this storm. But Matthew tells us, check this out, from his account, that they are a considerable distance from land. Translation, they are not where they're intending to go yet. And it's into that moment. If you can kind of get yourself in this old rickety wooden boat with these smelly dudes, these fishermen, and you're just pulling on the oars, and it's dark, you can't see but about 10 feet in front of you, and Jesus is not with you, and the water's hitting you, and you're just pulling, and it's into all that moment. All that's going on in that moment, that's where Jesus decides to fulfill his promise to come and join them. And he does it as only Jesus can do, right? So when they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, that's crazy, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, because he's Jesus and he can do that. And they, check out this detail, they were terrified. They were terrified. He doesn't say they were perplexed, they were surprised, they were kind of like, oh, kind of, look at that. Hadn't seen that before. I mean, I guess we should have seen it coming. I mean, he is Jesus. No, they were freaking out. They were so scared, Matthew tells us, that they cried out, it's a ghost. You know what that tells me they probably did? They probably grabbed the oars and were like, keep going. We don't know what that is. That's freaky deaky, man. I've never seen that before. And it's not Jesus. They certainly don't identify it as Jesus coming towards them. But he's walking on the water towards the boat. It's Jesus coming towards them, and they are just gripped with fear. So they're probably just, let's just keep doing what we know to do. Let's get away from that. It's too unfamiliar, too strange. Never seen that before. And what does Jesus do in that moment when they're just gripped with all this fear? Same thing he does with you and I. When he comes up walking on the water in our life and we just get paralyzed with fear, he speaks straight to that fear. And he says, hey, it is I. Don't be afraid. Translation, if we were out on Lake Martin in a bunch of pontoon boats, you know, it's like he would just come walking across the water like, hey, y'all, what's up? It's me. It's me. No, yeah. I'm walking on the water, you know. I mean, imagine we all just be like, huh? And he'd just be crying out to us, hey, yeah, look, no skis, no wakeboard, sandals maybe, but just walking on the water. And we wouldn't know what to do with that. And the disciples, they don't know either. But he comes walking up to them, and catch this. For the first time in the story, fear entered the picture. They were never scared. See, I had never noticed that. They were never scared until Jesus came up doing something they had never seen and that they weren't familiar with and that they didn't recognize. And suddenly, they were terrified. And the other thing I had never recognized happened right after he spoke to their fear and said, hey, it's me. Don't be afraid. Verse 21, then, in other words, when they realized it was him, then they were willing to take him into the boat. And don't miss this. Immediately, the boat reached the shore where they were headed. Like, immediately? It says immediately. But I thought they were a considerable distance from land, as Matthew said. I thought they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles. It says immediately. It says he got into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. They had no idea that's what was going to happen when they let him in the boat. And you and I, you have no idea what could happen when Jesus gets in the boat. You have no idea what might happen when Jesus gets in the boat. He can get you where he wants you to be in an instant. He could get you right where he wants you to be like that. Because he knows when he gets in the boat where it could go. You and I don't know. He could get you right where you've been trying all night through a dark, crazy storm, rowing really, really hard, doing what you know to do, what you're comfortable doing. He could get you right where you've been trying to get to for years in an instant because his ways are higher than ours. He could do that. And you know what our job is in that moment when he comes up walking on the water? The same with the disciples. You know what their job was in that moment too? It was just to hold those oars with open hands and surrendered hearts in that moment. Hold the oars of what they were comfortable with, what they were familiar with what they thought they could do really well. Hold the oars of what they thought they had control of with open hands and surrendered hearts. In the words of those saints and songwriters, 38 special, hold on loosely. It's like that's what Jesus wanted them to do, you know? And if you're here today and you would say you don't know Jesus, maybe the boat that he's walking on the water towards is your life. Your whole life. That's what he's walking on the water towards. I guarantee you that's what it is. And some of us here who have been walking with Jesus for a while and know Jesus, we could tell you that we all had a moment just like that too. A moment of decision where we were kind of like, I don't know. We were kind of reluctant. We encountered Jesus for the first time, and it was different. It was strange. We were like, maybe we came to a place like this, and people were singing songs we didn't know, and everybody's raising their hands, and, you know, the whole questions thing. And I was sitting there thinking, I have questions for God, but I'm not about to ask him in this environment, you know. Or there's, you know, maybe people prayed. And I know for me, I always thought that was weird when I was a kid. Like, some of them close their eyes, some of them don't. Obviously, I didn't close mine. That's how I knew. And then just kind of talking into the air, and how does this one guy hear everybody? And whatever the distractions were that were kind of like, I don't know. At some point, we came to a place where we made the decision to hold the oars of the control of our lives with surrendered hands and hearts. And we said, that's you. And Jesus just kept saying, it's me. I want to get into your life. And eventually, all of us at some point said, okay, you can get into the boat of my life. And when we let him into the boat, everything changed, didn't it? We went from death to life. We went, like my son, from dark to light. We went from man's, like, finite strength and provision to God's infinite, limitless strength and his provision. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. Yet, if we've been walking with Jesus, we would also tell you that that cycle seems to have repeated itself many, many times in our lives. Well, yeah, we met Jesus, we were kind of like, I'm not sure. And then we welcomed him into the boat. But he takes us through that so many times as he invites us into things. He keeps walking on the water towards something in our lives that we're just kind of like, I don't know. And eventually we relinquish control and we say, get in the boat. And suddenly we experience him like never before, like the disciples did that day. And when we do, we see and we know him more for who he really is. And then we respond accordingly. That's the goal of those experiences with him and why he takes us through that process, so that we would see and know him more for who he really is and then respond accordingly. Because isn't that what all of life comes down to? We've talked about this here before, to know God and to make him known. All of life comes down to that. So it makes sense that he would take us through that so that we would know, we would see and know him more for who he is, and then we would respond accordingly by making him known or glorifying him with our lives. That's the goal. See, Hebrews tells us that he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. So he doesn't just start it. He's constantly perfecting it. He's constantly stretching it, constantly growing it, constantly strengthening it through these kinds of experiences. And it was the same with his first followers who were literally just following him around. I mean, did you know that before the story we talked about today, they were on a boat in the same lake, and a storm comes up, and Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat, if you know this story. And they go to Jesus, and they wake him up because they're so scared of the storm. It must have been a really good one, you know? And he speaks to the storm, right? You know that? He wakes up, and he's like, hey, okay. And he calms the storm down. And what do the disciples say? The disciples that time, they say, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this? Why would they say that? I mean, they knew who he was. But you know what they said after this experience with Jesus? After he came walking on the water, calmed their fears, they led him in the boat, and then immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed? Matthew tells us that, number one, they bowed down before him. Number two, they worshiped him. They were responding accordingly now. And then for the first time ever in the Bible, they said to his face, truly, you are the Son of God. Because why? Now they saw and they knew him more for who he really was. They had experienced him and they were making him known now. They were responding accordingly. So maybe the boat that he's walking on the water towards in your life is your life if you don't know Jesus. But if you do know Jesus and you call yourself a Jesus follower, the boat he might be walking on the water towards in your life today, I mean, it could be anything that we've talked about. We talked about relationships at the very beginning. Yeah. Maybe you're dating someone. Got a lot of young people here. Maybe you're dating someone, and you're kind of like, you know, I got this, you know. I'm doing it the way media and culture tells me to do it and the way my friends do it, and that's all you really need. I mean, sure, they know everything, right? My friends know everything. And so they're dating, you know, and maybe you're just thinking, I got this relationship that's so awesome. I mean, she's so hot. Or he's so hot, and you know, you're really, really excited about it. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking on the water. And it's kind of like he's saying, I get that's how you handle relationships, but this is how I get across a lake. Would you like to see how I would handle your relationships? Maybe you reluctantly just say, okay, if it's you, get in the boat. And when Jesus does, he says, all right, I know you're really, really excited about this relationship because you just think they're so hot and they're so wonderful, blah, blah, blah. But I actually think you've been seeing this person for a while now. I think it's time that you probably let this relationship go. Because what you don't know that I know is right around the corner, I've got this person. And they're so much better for you and you'd be so much better for them than this right here. Because you never know what happens. You never know what could happen when Jesus gets in the boat. But he knows. He knows what's around the corner, and he could get you where he wants you to be in an instant. And maybe if you let him into the boat of your relationships today, it would be the complete opposite. Maybe you're dating somebody, and he would say, hey, buddy, it's time that you ask her the question. Like if we were sitting here right now with my wife, when we were dating, she would have been like, come on, circus boy, you know? Because we dated for a while, and she was ready, you know? I was just sitting with someone this past week, and we talked about this for hours. And finally, they just said, I don't know, man. It's just the fear of just, and I'm like, yeah, but what you don't know is on the other side of that is immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. And I was speaking from my own experience. Maybe the boat isn't your relationships today. Maybe the boat that he's walking on the water towards is, this is always a fun one to pick on in church, is your finances. We talked about giving earlier. And maybe, man, you're gainfully employed and you got lots of money. You got money in the bank. You got all this under control. It's comfortable for you. You got money in savings. You plan for retirement. Everything's good. College is paid for. Cars paid for. Houses paid for. Everything is good. Man, that is awesome. If that's you, I want to meet you and learn how to do that. But you've got this under control. And then Jesus comes along walking on the water and says, I get that's how you handle your money. Check out how I get across the lake. You want to see what I can do with finances? And he gets in the boat, and that's a tough one to let him into. But when he gets in there, he's, I like what you've done here. I like where you've put this and this and this. But I want you to take this little bit right here. Yeah, that little bit right here. And I would like for you to take that and invest it into my kingdom. And maybe that's when the Scrooge in you rises up and you just grab the oars tighter and like, no, I don't know about that. That's a little too intangible for me. And what you don't know that he knows and he's telling you is, yeah, but this is the most sure investment you could ever have. This is eternal. This always reaps a reward. You don't know that this is always going to draw a reward for eternity. It's the most secure investment you can make. And if you let him into your investments like that, I bet he might just reorganize and prioritize your money in a way that makes even more for you. Because you know what? He knows everything about everything. So he'd probably know where to wisely invest it, wouldn't he? And maybe the boat isn't your money. Maybe the boat that he's walking on the water towards today. Maybe it's like you've got a lot of people graduating. Maybe it's your job. Maybe you've trained for a certain job for years, through high school and through college, and you think I'm going to be on this career path, and suddenly you're feeling like, it looks like these are the doors that are opening, but you're like, I don't know, I'm kind of scared of that, and it's unfamiliar, but I kind of feel like this is where I'm supposed to go. I kind of feel like God's leading me this way. Or maybe you've done said job for 2 decades like I did, And you just kind of keep seeing this thing rising up. Call it a dream, call it whatever. And you keep seeing that people are asking you to do this or they're kind of like, the calls are coming in. You're kind of like, I don't know, maybe I should do this. Or maybe you've even got a job interview with something different than what you've done for 2 decades or a job offer on the table. And you're just scared to move towards that because you know when you do, you're like, yeah, but if I take that, I don't know, we might have to move. We might even have to leave Auburn. Lord, give us greater faith, you know? I mean, I don't think he would ever lead you to Tuscaloosa, just to say that out loud. Don't worry. But you're from Tuscaloosa, aren't you? No, you're not. Okay, somebody probably is from here. But if you're listening, I apologize. God's at work there too. But check this out, especially if you're the leader of a family, and we're talking about something like that that God starts to get involved in, like your job or moving. You realize that what he's walking towards in your life that can kind of scare you, that's personal to you, and you make a decision about that, it doesn't just affect you, does it? It affects your whole family that you're leading, doesn't it? Because see, sometimes when God is speaking to us about something personal, it's for us collectively. Sometimes God is after the boat of an entire community, because that's what happened in this story with the disciples that day. I mean, think about it. They're all out on this boat collectively together, right? And they all get scared of what Jesus is doing that they don't recognize together. And then Jesus speaks to all of them as a community. And then when their fears are calmed down, they all let him in the boat. And then check it out. Collectively, they experience something amazing with him as the boat reaches the shore where they're headed immediately. And did you even know that in this town right here, in Auburn, Alabama, there was a group of people collectively
for whom God was moving to each of them. He was walking on the water to the boat in each of their lives personally, of their concept, their idea of church. And when he did, you got to know, these people were awesome folks. They were just manning the oars of what they were doing. They were like, yeah, we go to church. We got a nice church. And maybe they probably really enjoyed their church. It was probably familiar. It was probably comfortable. You know, I bet it had a building. Hey-oh, you know, and I probably liked that, you know. They probably liked their pastor. They probably liked the messages. Whatever it was, I'm sure, you know, it was probably great. But when he came walking on the water towards their concept of church, it was like, some of them had the wisdom to just go, okay. And he said, all right. And he led a group of them to start this little small group that started meeting over at a hardware store off University Avenue, right? And think about that. They're just a little small group, house church, you know, community group, whatever the words are in 2017. I don't know anymore. But all they're really doing is just sharing life with one another and sharing what God is teaching them. And that little band of people was the nucleus about 3 years ago from which Auburn Community Church was born, and now here you sit 3 years later. I mean, come on, that's incredible. Some of you, they didn't even know about you. Think about that. When they were struggling to make that decision to let go and let Jesus in the boat, they didn't know that their personal decision could affect someone they didn't even know yet. Someone who probably was living in another state, didn't even come here yet to school. I mean, think about, what if they had just gone, I like our building. I like our pastor. I like familiarity. I like air conditioning, you know, or whatever it is, you know. I like children's ministries. Hey-o, today, you know. I mean, it's just like, think about that. What if they had held on and said, no, where would you be today? But you know what? When they were struggling to make that decision and they decided to do it, if you've been around here for a couple weeks, you've heard this story. On the other side of the planet, in another country, was a kid growing up named Jerry. And Jerry wants to come to school in Canada. Can't go to school in Canada. Ends up coming to America. Doesn't go to Alabama, and thank you, by the grace of the Lord and his sovereignty, he leads him to Auburn, where he encounters this little crazy community of people that are crazy about Jesus, and they start sharing Jesus with Jerry. And Jerry is in that moment, he's encountering Jesus walking up on the water towards the boat of his life. And you know what Jerry did? Because of this community of people who belong to this church, he said, you can get in the boat. And in September, Jerry will be baptized by this community. What if they just said, nah, too unfamiliar, too uncomfortable, nah. See, listen, you never know what hangs in the balance of your decision to let him into the boat. You never know. We never know what hangs in the balance of our decision to let him in to the boat. That decision could just affect someone a world away you don't even know yet. So it's with that in mind, I want to ask you today. What's the boat that he's walking on the water towards in your life? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I guarantee you, it's your whole life. Would you give that to him today? Would you let him in? That's the step you need to take. And he'll speak to you. And he'll give you the courage to do it. But if you're here today and you have been following Jesus, whatever it is he's walking on the water towards in your life, it could be any of the things we talked about today. It could be anything else. I'm pretty confident it probably is. But I'm also pretty confident it's probably pretty terrifying. So as we respond for a few minutes, would you open up your heart to him and just ask him to speak to that fear, and with his perfect love that we sang about earlier, come and drive out that fear so that we would have the courage to say, okay, I'm gonna hold this loosely and let you into the boat, Jesus. And when we do, we would experience him in a way so that we might see and know him more for who he really is. And then we would respond accordingly with a life that glorifies Jesus in this community and beyond. Let's open up our hearts to him today. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for all that you've done here today already. Just as you've been glorified through the words that we've sung and through the words that we've read, God. Now with your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bring the conviction and the reminder of what it is you are doing in each of our lives. Come and have your way. Because someone here doesn't know you today. And on the other side of that decision to let you into their life is immeasurably more than they could ever ask or imagine. Keep speaking to them today, God. And for anything else that we need to let you into, God, give us the courage to be surrendered and let you come and do what only you can do and move us forward in faith. Come and do what only you can.
Thanks so much for listening to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. Our hope and prayer is that God uses this message to challenge you and push you into a closer and deeper relationship with him. For more information about ACC, you can go to auburncommunitychurch.com.